Bailey and Hardy, Ultrasound Assistant, is proudly sponsored by Protein Rebel. Have you ever had super twitchy legs, after a long run where you can't get to sleep and they're just like twitchy, twitchy, twitchy? I have. And the only thing that has ever sorted them out is this Protein Rebel Power Up Seawater Magnesium. All you need to do is take 1 teaspoon of Power Up every evening, mix with water or juice, and it helps to improve your sleep, it honestly does, reduce restless and twitchy legs, and power up your body ready for your next run. Protein Rebel are a UK-based company who provide natural nutrition for runners, and their products include marine collagen, which I've also tried, which is amazing, this magnesium, which is amazing, a vegan protein powder, and award-winning maple syrup gels. And they have been kind enough to gift me a bundle to give to you, dear listener. One lucky listener will win a bundle in September 2024. And that bundle includes a tin of Accelerate vegan protein powder, a tin of Run Easy marine collagen, a tin of Power Up seawater magnesium, and 9 of these delightful Maple Ignite energy gels. All you need to do, head to Instagram, go to our link tree, enter the competition. The link is in the link tree. Put your email in, Bob's your uncle, but this will only work in September 2024. I love Protein Rebel. I really, really do. They sent me stuff free to try, and then I started buying it. And you can buy it too, using a discount code, which is also in our bio on Instagram. You'll get 15% off. So head over to Instagram at Ultrasound System Pod, fill in the form, enter the competition, get your discount code. And remember, listener, this is a grown-up podcast for grown-up people with some very immature, silly themes and lots of swearing. So if you're in the car on the school run, I'd advise you fucking switch it off now. All the best. Welcome to the Bailey and Sable / Rush Ultrasound System. There's some balloons. Holly's done a little peace sign there, and it's balloons are coming up, which is nice. What is she doing now?
Hello.
Not making any noise. She's just doing the wanker sign.
No, I am not Alison Bailey. If that's what you think is
Alison.
I don't know where that came from. I've just decided you're called Alison. Is Alison your full name?
No.
Is it always
question?
How to start a podcast. Offend the presenter, although to be fair, that's what we do all the whole time. How are you?
I feel like I might cry on this podcast. I feel very depressed, everyone. Trigger warning, I feel depressed. I'm probably going to talk a bit about feeling depressed. I haven't talked about feeling depressed on this podcast yet because I haven't felt like it's the right time. But today, because I feel depressed, I think I might.
Oh, God. Why have you picked to do it on the day that I'm on here?
Because you don't do depression, so I thought it might make you feel uncomfortable.
Nothing makes me feel uncomfortable apart from period talk.
Ooh, which we'll come on to later. Where are you? Look like you're in a sexy log cabin.
I'm in a log cabin. It's not sexy. But I'm in the French Pyrenees in Font-Romeu. For people that may know where that is, it's the training epicenter, altitude training epicenter for elite athletes. No idea why I'm here. Training, because I'm currently at about 1,800 metres, which is about the right sort of height for getting an altitude adaption. You'll know all about this next week.
Why are you there? What are you doing?
I'm here for 4 weeks and I'm halfway into the training camp, trying to relive my past marathon training blocks. And I realised very quickly, within days of being here, that it was not what I wanted to be doing again. Basically,
I thought you were just on holiday with Lemmy.
No, I did take the first 2 weeks. So I'm back to work this week. But I did take the first 2 weeks as holiday. I mean, these are holidays. This is the annoying thing, is our holidays involve, like hardcore exercise, running on tracks at high altitude, and, not doing the usual things of like going to a beach. I can't remember the last time we went to a beach or did anything like that. We haven't been out for dinner. We've had like pizza takeaways, had the odd coffee. Coffee here is dreadful.
Oh,
that's
what
one
is
bad
it?
Thing. Awful. Like, and so let me start from the beginning. So I get here, we're in Font-Romeu. This is the place where everyone goes. So this is where like Paula came to train, Mo, like all the Olympians before Paris would either have come here to train, or Samaritz or Flagstaff, something like that. These are the places they go to. The
What
reason
about
being,
Club La Santa in Lanzarote?
No, that's where the triathletes go. And so they come here because it's the right height. You're in Europe, so for Europeans, it's cheaper to get here than maybe going to Flagstaff in America. So you've got 1,800 metres, you've got a track, which you've got the centre of excellence where the altitude centre. So you've got the track there, the gym, you've got all the facilities. But what you don't have is very much flat running because I'm in the French Pyrenees. So if most people who come here are like marathon runners, track runners. So all you do is you basically run in exactly the same places. You have to drive to the lake, which for us is about 15 minutes away. For people who are staying right in Font Remote, it's about 20, 25 minutes away. You have to drive to the lake, which is like an 8K loop around the lake. It's a bit lower, but it's the only place where you can really train where it's flat. There are some, someone's put a thumb up in my screen.
You
There
have
are
put
some,
thumb up in your
I
screen.
have. There are a couple of other places. Trail running, it's a real mecca. There's some amazing trails here, but obviously I'm not here to do that. So that's what's made me feel.
What are you there for then? What are you training for?
Training for Amsterdam Marathon.
Right.
Yeah, and I made this really stupid statement at the beginning of the year because I got a bit excited. I did like one track session and was like quite quick. And I was like, oh, maybe I could run really fast again. However, I'm 47 in 2 weeks' time. And I
Congratulations.
know it's really old. And I've been training for, oh God, 20
89 years, I've just
something
worked it out.
years.
89 years training, that's a lot.
And thanks for making me feel better.
That's
And so
okay.
I thought, yeah, so let's throw all everything at it and we'll go to Font Romeu, we'll get some altitude training because that's going to help probably, hopefully. And yeah, and I'm really not anywhere near what I used to be, and I knew that. But so I've changed my aspirations massively. I even got to the point when I was here and I was like, do you know what? I don't really want to do it. I'm not
What,
enjoying this physically.
Amsterdam?
Yeah, it's just like I've done this training. I've done training camps like this before when I was training. So like 2010, all sort of 2006 to 2012, I did all of that. I went to St. Moritz. I went to lots of other different altitude training camps. And it is you have to live like a monk for like 4 weeks. So all you're doing is training, sleeping, eating, training, sleeping, eating, training, sleeping. And actually, it's really fucking boring. And also, I'm just a bit sick of it. Also, I'm sleeping so badly here, which is
So
making me feel.
let's just talk, because most people don't understand, including me. Why would you train at altitude for a city road marathon?
So altitude will hopefully, what happens when you go to altitude, there's less oxygen. Sorry, when you go above a certain level, it's normally about 1500 meters. You need to start going above up to about 2400 meters where you get a really good adaptation. So your body has to work harder. So when you work harder at this level, so your heart rate's going to be higher because you have less oxygen. And as a result, your body produces more red blood cells. So instead of taking EPO, which probably would have been a better thing to do, I could have just done it at home. It would have been expensive.
You can buy it in Boots as well, can't you?
And yeah, I'm completely wrong, but I could have done that and that would have been probably easier. Whereas, so you come to altitude and you need a minimum, actually, minimum of 18 days, and anything up to sort of 4 or 5 weeks before you see that adaptation. Then you go back to sea level and then you've had more, you've hopefully, because some people don't, it doesn't work. Most people it works.
Really?
Yeah, and some people. And that's why you need to have iron. That's what we had this conversation last week, and other things to talk about iron. You need to have very good iron, like ferritin, hemoglobin. So you've got the ferritin, hemoglobin, iron stores, so that when you come up to altitude, you make the most of that. So I've been like stockpiling my iron, coming up here, and hopefully I'll produce more red blood cells. Now I've done this before, and it's very hard to unless you have blood tests before you go, blood tests when you get back. You can't really tell exactly if it's worked. Most of the time, you will feel better because as soon as you go down to sea level, you'll be like, "Oh wow, there's so much more oxygen, and my heart rate's much lower, and I can run at the same pace but with a much lower heart rate, or I can run faster, obviously with the same heart rate." That's the aim, and you know that's what most athletes will do. You can either come back race pretty much straight away, or come back and race within the next few weeks, and you'll see. Hopefully, you'll see the benefits from it. But you know, there's lots of other things you could do. You could have an altitude tent, although you'd have to basically live in it 24 hours a day.
Would
I've done
you?
that.
I think Damien's got an altitude tent and a mask.
So the altitude tents are fine, but you do have to be in them for about 12 hours a day.
So he sleeps in it.
Yeah,
Apparently,
so does he sleep for 12 hours? Probably
no, he
not.
doesn't. He sleeps for about 6 hours.
Okay, so it's probably not going to help him at all. Also, if you get out to pee in the night, it
He's
takes.
gonna be on the tour. No, it's gonna be the day before the tour when this comes out. He's gonna be listening to it like,
Good luck,
oh,
Damo. You've been better off just sitting home and eating Mars bars.
can't, not vegan.
Oh yeah, that's true. Vegan Mars bars. But anyway, so that's it. That's the aim. But there's lots of other things you can do at home. You don't need to be doing high altitude training. Heat training is another great source of helping with performance. And but
With
altitude,
heat training, is it a case of sitting in a sauna?
no, that's another thing. Look, well, some people do, but I think the best thing is to actually go and stay. Like, so I did heat training for the European Championships, which were going to be in Barcelona. They were not going to be, they were. They were in Barcelona. They were at midday, the marathon. It was the 26th of July. It was roasting. And so the race was in Barcelona in the city. So I went away to Mallorca for 2 weeks before to train. And I trained in the middle of the day and it was like 30 something degrees. It was hideous, but actually it worked. Whereas other people went to altitude. And it's like, you're not going to run a fast race in hot conditions in a championship anyway. So therefore, I'm not going to go to altitude. I'm going to go into heat training so that it's going to be hot, isn't it? So for me, that worked out really well. So yeah, it's going to altitude. It's if people want to experience it, it's a cool thing to do. But you have to also remember that when you get to altitude, it's going to take you probably over a week to adapt anyway. So you lose that first week where you're training. So you can't just go straight up, come straight to altitude and start running really fast, or you'll detonate.
Well,
There you go. That's your schooling. So that's what I'm here for.
I'm going to altitude next this week, guys.
Yeah, which we had a conversation about. She's like going,
Didn't even think
I'm
about
going
the
to do a
altitude.
session as soon as I get there, day one. I'm going to get out of the car and then do the
That
whole
is
rep. So I was
literally not what I said. I said I can probably do it on Saturday because there's some hills there.
then I was like, hang on a minute. Have you ever run at altitude? No. I was like, okay, well, you're not doing a session. And you're going to wear your heart rate monitor the whole time because I
No,
know
I'm
you
fucking
don't
not, because
like
it'll give
doing
me a
it.
suntan mark. And also, my heart rate monitor doesn't work very well because my tattoos. I looked it up on the internet.
Yeah, that's true, actually. I hadn't
Actually,
thought
this one, look
of
at that. How dark
that.
that
Is that
one
a
is.
new one?
It's covering a different one. But
Yeah,
yeah,
it's nice.
it's a very
You
angry
can wear it.
owl.
Have you got them on your, have you got a tattoo on your forearm? Oh, you could wear it slightly on the back there. But yeah, no, tattoos do
Could
it.
wear it
Do
on my
you?
ankle like a prison person.
No, you really couldn't.
Okay. Well, I'll wear it for most of the time, some of the time when I remember, if I don't leave it in the coconut by the
Listeners,
front door, which
can you
will.
see what I have to put up with? It's just resistance the whole
It's not
time.
resistance, it's persistence to
Yeah,
be just the way I was before. Not to let,
I
never change, hashtag never change. So I'm going to call my maybe baby for 10 days. No, like 6, 7, 8 days to help Kirsty Reid to be a champion at the Tour de Gion.
was so cool. And you know that I'm literally going to be, because the other thing we've decided, we're going to head for our last week. We're going to head to Chamonix because we had such bad FOMO. You're going to hate me for this. I had such bad FOMO with UTMB
I have
weekend.
no problem with people enjoying UTMB. I have a problem with UTMB being owned by Iron Man and
Oh,
having
yeah.
a big, heavy, dirty carbon sponsor as one of their main
I
sponsors.
totally, I
I have a
totally.
big fucking problem with that.
I totally agree. But there's lots of other things I have problems with UTMB with, actually. Hence why in the end we didn't go. The hordes of influencers, people who have never done a trail run or done anything like that, but they sort of descend on the place.
Do you know
And
what is really interesting about UTMB?
what?
Two people that I know, one of them an athlete of mine who went to do TDS, and one of them Emma Stewart, who wrote about this on her Instagram.
I thought that was a brilliant post.
Fucking hell, Emma Stewart's post is incredibly brave. It's so good. Now, my client, he has done it before, he's done TDS before, and he had an incident where he just lost his mind. So he lost his fucking marbles. And his wife, who was crewing him, was like, I'm worried about you. And called and basically was like, I called, well, their doctor friends at home, who was like, this is not cool. He has to stop. It sounded a bit like altitude sickness, but he said to me, actually, I didn't want to race. He was like, it was just too many people. And he said to me the words, I wanted to go home to my wife and kids.
And
And I was like,
TDS is the one that
whoa.
there's no one there. I mean, TDS is the first race of the week.
Yeah. But I was like, whoa. And then with Emma's post, she talked about how many people there were there, the crowds. She talked about and watching the and I've watched and last year even watching like Courtney coming through, people literally grabbing onto her, touching her. I was like, that is my idea of fucking hell on earth. Like, because that's the
Yeah,
opposite
last year.
reason to why I go into the mountains. And like they're making like Hoka have just released a video this morning on Instagram of like the bells ringing and people chasing each other, the lights and like it's like a fucking rave. And I'm like, that's my idea of hell. Like, I fucking hate it.
I agree. And that's when I read Emma's thing, I was like, I knew that she would feel that way. So she basically DNF'd, and for various reasons, not just that, but And she explained why she DNF'd. That's another thing I was going to talk to you about, actually, the huge amount of DNFs of the utility
Absolutely fucking massive.
and why that happened in terms of the elite. So in terms of the elites, I saw some data this morning. 75% of the men's elite dropped out. Dropped out, which is huge. That's another question maybe we could talk about today or another time. But I think it was like 45% of women, the elite women, dropped out as well. But I have to say, obviously, I did my first UTMB race in 2016, I think, CCC. And it was interesting because I was looking at, and then 2017, CCC, and then I did UTMB in 2018, then I've gone on to TDS. I much prefer TDS because it was like, it's much more wilder, it's quieter, you don't hardly, not many people seem to forget about the race, but I think it's one of the most beautiful ones.
I've had reports that nowadays, though, again, like there's a massive bottleneck at the start of it. There's loads of
Yes. Oh, there
queuing
was a
at the
bottleneck when
start of
I
it
did it.
still. Yeah. So it's still like a big, it's still a big race. It's not like you're just going to go off, but it's not like the
No.
Spine where you go off and you're by yourself within 10 minutes.
Yeah. That's the nature of the TDS, though. The first bit is a sort of very narrow bit, of course. I mean, couldn't pass anyone for the first like 30K. But after that, it spreads out. But I think what I think is it's getting very much like Tour de France. I feel like the people that are there, I may be wrong, but I don't think I am. The people that are there and are out on the course and in Chamonix don't even know why they're there. I think they're there, no, just like for the
Mob
hype.
mentality. It's mob mentality. Let's go over here.
Well, yeah, I said to Pete, it almost feels like the people are there, you know, like the people who go to football matches who actually don't really like the football. They just want to go and cause a scene, like they want to get shit
Get pissed
faced.
and have a fight.
Yeah. And yeah, and have a fight and just like be relevant. Whereas I honestly feel that like this is what's happening with UTMB. And I was like, it actually makes me feel sad. And I was thinking, I really hope that Tour de Gijón doesn't go that way because I feel like that's the
It's,
one.
do you know what it's like? It's like the people that got in the fucking queue to buy Oasis tickets. They don't know why they're in the queue to buy Oasis tickets.
No.
They don't really want to see Oasis.
I
The
want
people
it.
that really want to see Oasis aren't going to buy tickets because we've seen them before. Been there, done that, got the fucking t-shirt. We know it's going to be shit because we know all about Oasis. It's fine. I've got my Earl's ticket, my Earl's Court ticket from before. I don't need to get that queue. The people that are in the queue don't know why they're in the queue. And it's the same with this. And what that thing about Tour de Gijón is really fucking interesting, actually, because I'm going over there to obviously crew Kirsty and support Damien. And I am also going to be doing some Instagram-y stuff for Innovate because they've got a lot of Innovate athletes running. Okay. But Innovate aren't that interested in going to Tour de Gijón because nobody knows what Tour de Gijón is. And I'm like, but I think Tour de Gijón is the new UTMB. I think it's where the cool kids are going. And I think it within 5 or 6 years, it's going to be just the fucking same.
Which is horrible because don't you feel like there's so many events that's happening to, i.e., Arc of Attrition,
Well, we
and
haven't seen that happen yet, because given the benefit of the doubt until we actually see it happen.
yeah, but it's not the same race, is it? That's the thing.
No.
Same race, and I'm thinking like it's just even things like Barclay. Barclay now, you know, you can see what's happening now there, whereas it used to just be on Twitter, you know. And I feel like, is anything sacred anymore? Although, are we just being miserable shit?
I think Barclay will always be protected. Like from what I know about Barclay, we see a little bit more because they do have like Miller and Howie Stern giving us that content, filtering that. But you don't see like, you've not got John Kelly's missus like taking selfies and being like, I'm in camp. You've not got stories coming through. But I think Barclay's a bit different, but
Yet.
it is. And also the other thing is, yeah, is it us being snobs? Or is it like some people love having loads of people banging cowbells and telling them they're amazing as they run through a funnel? Other people don't. And that's okay because there's room for everybody, right? But I think, well, the thing that is the most galling thing is the commercialization of the sport and the outpricing of it. That's the thing, isn't it? Because the more commercialized it gets, the more expensive it gets, the less likely it is that people will be able to take part. The less likely it is that a diverse range of people will be able to take part. And it just narrows down the field of the sport, which is shit because ultra running should be for everybody, in my humble opinion.
I totally agree. And then things like, oh, I can't really say this. I messaged you about a particular thing that annoyed me, and Kirsty messaged you as well. I basically had the live streaming on all weekend because I wanted to watch it. It's just in the background. That's what's so great. I have to say, that is wonderful. The streaming of it, as in the videography of it, is fantastic. However, I did get slightly pissed off with people that they had in the studio who were commentating on it, who I felt really weren't sort of the right people to do that. I would have wanted someone like, I don't know, I said this to you, like Ellie Greenwood or People, past winners, interesting people who are, and coaches, people who know what they're talking about. And that really pissed me off that they had people in there who were showbiz
Names. Yeah, names.
influencers.
They go for names rather than expertise.
And they're there for a different agenda, I
But do you
think.
know why? Because people don't fucking care what they're saying. They don't care what they're saying.
They
Like, they
should
just
do.
don't
That's me
listen.
too.
Of course they should do, but like, they don't care what they're saying. Like, it's, and it's, that's the kind of, it's just, it's such a double-edged sword, because it's like, it's great to see the growth of the sport, and it's great to see it being like streamed on across loads of platforms. It's great that people are aware of it. But the thing about UTMB is, it's such a monster that UTMB brainwashes people into thinking that UTMB is the only, is ultra running. Ultra running is UTMB. That is what it is. And there is nothing outside it. Whereas we know that there is fucking loads of stuff outside it. Like, on Saturday, I went to, or Friday, I went to the briefing for the UK Barclay Marathons, which is near you, down in Barclay, near you. So about an hour from where you live. And it was cool. I was like, I want to do this race so bad. It's really spit and sawdust. And it is, it's like, that's a great little ultra. It's fucking hard. They reckon 5 laps, each lap is 26.2 miles, and they reckon that you need to be able to do 5 laps in 24 hours. That's a lot. It's 126, 130 miles. It's
Is this on
fucking
the Cotswold
mad.
Way?
Yeah, I think so. Bits of the Cotswolds Way. No one's ever finished it, right? And they have safes with books hidden in, and they have, you have to get the code for the safe, but you don't know how to get the code for the safe. So there's lots of problem solving. It's really cool. That's one of like hundreds of ultras. But UTMB are like, there is only one ultra. It is UTMB. If it doesn't have UTMB in the name, then don't do it. That's the problem.
And you have to do it to be a proper
You
ultra
have,
runner.
yeah.
And that's the thing. How many people have you heard or coach or whatever who have been watching it over the weekend and they're like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it next year. I want to do it. And it's only going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and also harder to get into. So I have no idea. But I loved watching it. I have to say the other thing is I loved the story of Vincent Boyard who won it. I love the fact that he worked at Hoka. I love the fact that literally 6 weeks ago he was at a training camp with all of the Hoka athletes, but he wasn't there as an athlete. He was there helping them fit their shoes and check out their packs and stuff. And then he gets the wins. I love that. That story is fantastic. But yeah, it's I just felt disappointed with various bits of it, and therefore I didn't go. I never planned to go, but I really wanted to go. And then we decided, no, let's go to Chamonix next week when there's
What
no
can't you
one there.
see? Won't you see the Tour de Shield people coming through Chamonix?
No, because what day do they come through? Do you know? Are they actually
I
coming through
don't
Chamonix?
know what
I
they. I
don't
didn't
think
even
they do.
know. Shall I
No,
have
they
a quick
don't.
look at the map of Rooney while we're having a chat?
Yeah, have a look. I don't think they do because so I've been to so the when I first did CCC, a good friend of mine, actually Damien as well, well no, Steve. He did Tour de Gem, and so I went over to because it's literally you go through the tunnel. It's half an hour away from Chamonix, Courmayeur, if you go through the tunnel. And we
Yeah, but you
watched
could just run over the hill, couldn't you? What's that? 30, it's only 100K.
the
Take you a day.
hill.
It's just a hill between one hill. I was
Well, you
in
can
your
get the
house,
cable
right?
car.
You know when I was in your house, and you've got that really good.
Were you in my house? When?
I've been in your house for 2 weeks, right? And you've got a really good map, the Mont Blanc Massive on the wall. And I spent ages looking at it.
Yes,
I was like, you could just run over
epic,
that.
isn't it?
You could just run over that. That's like, what,
Well,
a
I have climbed
day?
it.
100K. It's like racing the Carphone Warehouse, isn't it?
Race to the Carphone Warehouse.
Yeah, it's just 100K.
Oh,
I
that's
think I could just
hilarious.
do that. So what I'll do is on Tuesday, actually no, on, they start on Sunday, so on Monday I'll just run across. So I'll be there for tea time. You could drive me
You
back.
should do it. Just get the cable car up to Gwiel de Midi and then run down. It's no big deal.
Perfect. Okay then. You can drive me back, yeah? Through the tunnel that's blocked, or you can't get through the tunnel. This will be going over the tunnel, isn't there? Yeah,
Is there?
think there's something wrong with the tunnel, isn't there? One of the
Oh,
tunnels.
so we can't
Anyway.
even get through anyway. All right, I was going to surprise you. I'm not going to do it now. So it's the 8th, isn't it? It starts. Does it actually start on the 8th?
So 6th to the 15th September, 8th, yes, it's going to start on Sunday. So that's so the tour 3:30 starts on Sunday. That's what Damien's going to be running. Damien, Jasmine, John Kelly, what's his name, AJ. So that's gonna be fun. And then
Kirsty?
Kirsty, yeah. And then Todrett, which is the 100K, is Jack Scott, my friends Crystal and Rich. Jack Scott and Jack Scott. And then Paul Tierney is going to be doing the tour 450. Oh, and in the tour, the little tour, the Gion, Sabrina Virgie as well. So Sabrina versus Jasmine. It's going to be good. It's going to be
And
good.
what's Kirsty doing?
She's doing the Tour de Géant, so the 330, the big one. So Tour de Glacier is 450 kilometers. That's silly. And
Crazy
the
one.
only person that does that is Paul Tierney, because everybody else knows it's shit. So Tour de Géant is 330 kilometers, and that's the one that everybody is properly doing. So that's going to be good fun, isn't it?
And come on, you want to do this, don't you, one day?
No, I think I might. There's a Tour 30, which is a 30K. So I think that might be more in my wheelhouse, isn't
Oh my
it?
God, did you hear that, everyone? She just said she would basically do a 30K, which, let's say in the mountains, is a trail marathon. I think this is what we need to get you to do, or even maybe a trail half. I'm not doing a trail half.
I don't want to do a trail half. I'm not interested in trail
Okay.
halves.
I will guarantee you that when you get over there, because you've not been over there, have you? You are going to be all over it, and you're going to want to do it next year.
I don't think not next year. Fuck that. No way,
Or at the year
losers.
after, I will put money on it. I bet you anything you're signing up for it, because it's so bloody stunning out there.
Okay,
The Italian Alps
we're not going to
stunning.
come near you. We start in
No, I know.
Courmayeur, and then we go round in a circle, and then we go and come back again. So yeah, we're not coming near you. Not interested in that.
Do you go through like Bourg Saint Maurice or anything like that, or Beaufort?
We go
I think
to
you did. Comet de Roseland.
There's a place called Donas, which is really hot. Everyone keeps telling me Donas is really hot. Everybody says get some
Yeah.
ice cream at Donas. Grisony Saint-Jean is a big
Yeah, I
one,
know.
and
Yeah.
then Saint-Rémy, which is just before Courmayeur. So yeah, it's gonna be cool. It's gonna be cool. Gonna have a great time. Be interesting. It'll be
Well,
very interesting to watch it from the outside, I think, as
it'll
not
be
a
interesting.
runner.
It'll be interesting to see how tired you're going to be as well.
I can't wait to see the state Damien gets in.
There's going to be a lot of hallucinations, a
I
lot of
know,
hallucinations.
especially when I decide to dress up as someone that he used to know and jump out of a bush.
Have you bought the horse's head? Are you going to take it?
Yeah, the skull, yeah. Shh.
Okay, and put a black sheet over you
Yeah.
and wear like bells.
Yeah. I'm going to dress up as Laz, but jump out of a bush and be like, "You've gone the wrong way. Hey, you, Mohawk guy." I'm going to do that.
Has he grown?
I lost you for a minute there. Go on, say that again.
Has he grown the mohawk? The mohawk? Has he grown the more? That I can't even speak. What is it? Mohawk? Has he grown out yet? It's just got to be sorted. It's getting more and more obscene as well, I think.
I mean, I think that that's mean, and I think you should apologize. That's an attack on someone's character, on someone's appearance.
On someone's
He
hair.
might think that you should get a haircut. How about that?
I think you should do it the other way around. I think you should grow it out of the sides and shave it down the middle.
Absolutely not. Let's talk about something different. So, you're doing that. So is your next race Amsterdam Marathon then?
Yeah, because I can't find anything in between when I get back, which is really annoying. I've entered, this is hilarious. I've entered Cardiff Half Marathon twice through the Elite Way, because apparently I've got an elite qualifying time, but no one's got back to me. So maybe they don't think I'm too old. They're probably like, okay, you've got the elite time, but you're really fucking old, so you can't do it. So I was hoping to do that, not because I actually want to do Cardiff Half, I really don't, but just as a good race. But no, I haven't got anything, which is a real shame. And then after Amsterdam, I don't really know what to do. I need to find something to do before the end of the year.
Why don't you want to? I thought you were looking at the Winter Downs 100.
I'm not really sure about that. I might. Don't tell anyone. I have looked at another centurion race actually for the end of the year. I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Let's talk about me.
Yeah, let's talk about you, baby. Yeah, let's talk about you.
I feel I'm doing the Winter Downs 200 because I'm a big girl. And I feel like, how many weeks is it away?
Quite a few.
Is it? I don't think it
Yeah,
is.
what? It is, hang on, or September, October, November, December. Is it like 12 weeks?
Okay, so
No, it's more than that.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 weeks away.
Yeah, 14 weeks. Yeah,
Okay.
loads.
Okay, so basically, like, talk to me about 200 mile. Talk to the audience about 200 mile training. How is it different to 100 mile training?
It's not really much different. The difference is we have to put it in context as well, because we're talking about you doing a 200-mile race. And what have you done this year?
Well,
Lost.
did the Arc of Attrition badly. Then I did another 100. What was that? Oh no, I did the Lakes Traverse. That was 100K. And then I did the, what else did I do? Oh yeah, then I did the Spine Challenger South, which is 108 miles. And then I did the Lakeland 100.
Okay, and what, and that was before all of that was hot in the first 6 months of the year.
Now, like the 100 was in July.
So that's the
Just.
safer. I'll see it. I like the way you're tentatively hanging on to that. Anyway, so what would that, as a coach yourself, what would that say about your endurance?
Well, if someone came to me and said I'm doing all these things, I'd say don't do them. First off, that's too much. What does it say about my endurance? I don't really know. What does it say about my endurance?
Well, it says that you've got good endurance and you've got a very good base.
I'm right. I've been told I've got a good base by a few people, actually.
I'm not sure what base you're talking about, but I know what I'm talking about. So you're quite different. If you were someone, and you've also done a 200 miler before, which you won. So you're coming, if it's coming from you, it's probably a little bit different. Although I would say that probably most people who were going to do a 200 would probably be like, they haven't just done park runs and they decided they're going to do a 200 mile race, because
I
obviously
mean,
that would
apart from all
probably
the
not.
people signing up for UTMB and the Dragon's Back.
Well, yeah. There
Well,
is
hang on a minute.
that. Luckily, there's good cutoffs for the, well, horrible cutoffs for the Dragon's Back. So therefore, you're a different person. So if we're talking about you, hence that's why we're not panicking and going, oh my God, it's only 14 weeks to a 200 miler. We need to do shitloads more work. Because actually, what our priority was, and I think for anyone really who's doing 200, because you probably would have done a 100 miler or some races before that, is you need to be recovered. And thankfully, you actually, I think your lifestyle kiboshed your normal strategy after 100 mile, which is to try and go running 2 days afterwards. And I think because your lifestyle and you were so busy and stuff, life got in the way and it actually stopped you from doing too much. Would I be right? Because I think it was like 8 days
What,
actually
after the
before you
200, after
stopped.
the 100 or after the 200?
No, after the last 100, you did.
I did,
You
I
didn't
didn't
run for
go.
8 days.
Yeah, I know, but that's because I was, because you, because basically I was like, I can't do this because I need to be a grown up now. Like,
Yeah, because
I
you
was
got the
really
whole, you got
fucking tired.
exactly, but you did try, but no, that's not true. You had to go and do, you did race directing.
Oh yeah, I did go and do race directing, so that was good.
Yeah, so you had lots of life things that stopped you from doing that stuff, and you were knackered.
I wouldn't have done it anyway, I don't think. I was absolutely knackered. Like, I just felt like
Absolute
shit.
rubbish. You messaged me after about 4 or 5 days saying, I really need to go for a run.
Oh, did I? Well, I forgot about
Yeah.
that. So, no, yeah, I went and RD'd at the Edam, and then oh, yeah, and then I had to go to Gran Turismo Escador and RD that. So I was actually doing a lot of work. And I did do some running when I was back, when I was in the lake. So I did get back to doing a few little trots while I was in the lake. So that was okay. But yeah.
So priority was to recover and to recover properly. I would say even though you were, the problem is you weren't running, but you're doing other stuff, which is was exhausting, and you were exhausted, and it was your body telling you that you just need to slow down. So the first thing was to be recovered, because there's no point getting back to training if you're not recovered from what you've done, because you just won't make any headway, and you'll probably get injured and sick, and then take 2 steps forward and 3 steps back. So being recovered, you've got all the endurance you possibly need. And also with any sort of race, you should structure and periodize your training so that you specify closer to the event. And when I say closer to the event, we're looking at maybe 6 to 8 weeks out, 6 weeks really. And with specifying for a 200 miler, it's literally just about being time on your feet, isn't it? And you also need to go into a 200 miler not exhausted and overtrained. You
That's
actually need to
hard,
be
isn't
going.
it? That is hard to like do the
It is
time on
really,
your
really
feet, but
hard.
then not go into it tired.
Exactly. It's like if you're doing a multi-day, or if you're going off, it's like you actually get fitter as time goes on. So people doing the Dragon's Back, you don't want to be going in exhausted, or you're just not going to last 5 minutes. So for you, it's really, really quite simple. We wanted to try and get you back to recovering. We wanted to get back some pop in your legs so you're getting some speed work, because that's always going to be beneficial. A good person to listen to any podcast is like Tom Evans, even
Are
though
you
DNF
actually
UTMB.
on drugs? Do not pimp that shit on my pop podcast. Do
Tom
this.
Evans, just in
Beep
terms of
that out. Beep it out. Beep it out.
in terms of his training, and gym, people like that, is you do need to keep your speed work in. No matter if you're an ultra runner, even though he did DNF UTMB, you'll be pleased about that.
I'm
Apparently, it was
not
a scam
pleased
record.
about it. I'm not pleased about it, but I'm excited to talk to David Miller, who was his official photographer, about what happened.
Was he? He's
Miller,
an official
yeah.
photographer.
Miller went out with Tom Evans and Strava to take photos of Tom Evans. And then obviously Tom Evans is here, so he had to take photos of other things, which he did very well because he's the greatest photographer in the UK.
Charles.
I'm not listening to what Tom Evans. I'm not listening to what Tom Evans has to say. I can't.
Right,
I tried once and I fell asleep.
He's changing his podcast. I've already spoken to him.
He's changing it to what?
He's gonna change the name of it.
To what?
To I think I something to do with about DNFing or something.
Look at my massive balls. How fucking great am I with Tom Evans? 10 reasons I'm amazing with Tom Evans.
I don't know what he's going to change it to, but he said he would change it. So you need to do a speed block, which is what we're trying to do. And then we go into something more specific, but it really doesn't have to be very long for you. So yeah, that's it. And
okay.
So you trying to do big ultras beforehand, it's just going to make you more tired. You're only doing it because you want to do long stuff because you think I need to do that to remind myself of what it's like, but you don't need to.
I just want to run all the time and just be left alone. And just, if I could, I just would be running out on the moors by myself like a wild woman and living in a fucking hut. That's all I want
to
do.
You'll be doing that in December.
I can't wait. Why do you think so many people DNF? Let's talk about it quickly. DNFs, UTMB, Dragon's Back. I am currently on the Dragon's Back tracking app.
Yeah.
And yesterday I was actually quite, I wouldn't say, would I say distressed about the amount of people DNFing or
really
slipping down to the hatchling on day one? Because, like, obviously it is fucking hard race. The Dragon's Back is a really hard race. The Dragon's Back is a race that is sold as anyone can do it, but is actually an elite level mountain race because of the cutoffs.
Yeah.
It's fucking really, really hard, right? So yeah, like, what are your thoughts on those high level DNFs at UTMB first? Why do you think that they're so much higher than they usually would be?
So I think this is a good question, and it's something that I've listened to lots of other podcasts about and other people talking about, not Tom Evans. So I think the interesting thing is some people were trying to say, oh, it's because it was warm, but it really wasn't. It wasn't warmer than any other years. In fact, it was actually really good conditions. If you heard Katie Scheid talk, who won it, got the course
set
record,
a course record.
By 20 something minutes off Courtney DeWalter. She said actually it was pretty perfect conditions. Like, I've done it in years where it's been like last year was so hot, I thought it was going to burst into flames. And then other years I've done it when it's been like snowing and raining and it's been disgusting. And you have to expect that for UTMB. It's rare, you know, there's always going to be some sort of weather issue. This year it was pretty amazing. Like, didn't really even have to put jackets on at night, maybe a long sleeve. It was clear. There wasn't like that fog and mist or anything you get. And the only thing they said, it was slightly humid, but it always is at the start because you run along the river. And you're starting in town where there's about a billion people. So it can be a little bit humid at the start, but that's the start. So there's the weather, I don't think was an issue. I think, especially maybe for the men, I wonder if it was like all or bust, you know? I think a lot of the guys, they wanted to, and this sounds bad, but I wonder if they just, because they weren't where they wanted to be, some of them dropped because of that.
Why do you think? Okay, so I've always had this really interesting. I've always noticed in my running career that men drop because they're not going to get the position they want, but women tend to continue anyway, right? And I find that, and I think that's an ego thing. I think it's a male-driven ego thing. But why this year is it so much higher than it would have otherwise been? Do you think that do you think people's reasons for racing have changed?
Definitely. And I think there was a lot of depth this year in the race, men and women. There was a lot of really good men. And I think that there's a lot of peacocking as well. You also have to remember that the first 10K is very fast. It's slightly downhill and people go off at stupid paces. And that can cost you a little bit. And it has done it before. There's also a lot of talk about, which again has shown that it was not always right, is that there was a lot of talk now with UTMB that if you're not sort of in the front pack from the beginning, you're not going to podium. And that's not true, because that didn't happen this year. Look at Ludwig Pommeret, who's the most phenomenal guy. I love watching him. 49, who just won Hard Rock, got the course record, and then came through to come fifth or sixth at UTMB. And it was his 20th year anniversary running this. And he was in like 56th place at Champs-Élysées. So I think that there's a lot of, if I'm not up the top there quite early on, and if it's not right, then I'll pull out, with the exceptions of people who've fallen or something wrong. I do struggle with people saying that they've had stomach issues, because it's a 100 miler, it's at altitude. Most people get stomach issues, and you can sort of work it out. You know, you can go quite down and you can work yourself out. And I think also the elite athletes, like say Tom Evans was saying, he had stomach issues. I really struggle with that, because they practice,
Yeah, I
they're
mean,
so
Emma said she had
clear.
stomach, because Emma's the queen of the puker rally, right? She can just throw up and keep running. She throws up and runs at the same time. But she said she has stomach issues the other side. And she was like, I can't deal with that, because she's never had it before. So I think if she's never had it before, fair enough. If you're an elite athlete, you probably have trained for it. Plus, Tom Evans likes to fucking do a whole podcast on his nutrition strategy and tells us exactly how many grams of fucking
Which is
carbohydrates you need.
incredible. That's why I was shocked when that was the reasoning, and I'm not sure if that really is. We don't
Well,
know.
he talks at the big talk with fucking all his sponsors, so I'm not sure how thrilled they're going to be about it. But because you do, generally, I accept when I go for anything over 100 miles, I'm going to end up feeling awful, like
Of
having
course.
throwing up, feeling nauseous, probably shitting myself a little bit, just feeling terrible because you're doing something awful to your body. So whatever you put into it, it's just going to scramble it up.
Listen to Courtney when she's done, I think it was the last Hard Rock she did, and she talked really openly. She goes to the cave, doesn't she? And you are going to feel shit. You are probably, I mean, when I did UTMB, it was, I was going to reach out to Emma about this. I had almost exactly the same thing from exactly the same place. I was shitting and being sick from there, and I made it to the finish. I'm not saying that she should have done, but it was really awful. That was the one when I had to change my shorts twice, because they basically got incinerated, those t-shirts. Oh yeah, honestly,
Right, because the pictures we see of Courtney are just of her smiling with her sunglasses on, her poles in her hand, and her silly shorts. You never see her crouching in the cave, shitting herself, or throwing up, or crying. People think they
no,
know. They don't fucking know. There are no
and that's
pictures of
what I mean.
me. There's one picture of me on the Arc of Attrition that Miller took where I look like absolute dog shit. But there are no other pictures of me in that situation where I feel so terrible. They're not in existence. But I think because of Instagram and because of all of the coverage that we see, you never see the fucking camera zoom in on someone at the side of the trail with their shorts around their ankles, do you? You
No,
just see
but it
like,
needs,
and
we'll
Ella
sort
Lockyer and
that
ding, 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 ding,
out.
ding. That's all you see.
I know, and I think you're right. It's like, so I think that's why some people are like, oh well, I've got stomach issues, so I'll stop. And I think the telling thing as well with some of the elites, though, is that there were a couple, a few, quite a few elites, namely some of the women. I think Abby Hall, Sophie Grant will always finish. A Brit, she will always finish no matter what. And also the fact that she was in like 45th woman, and she kept on going, and she finished like 21st woman, because people drop out, and she just gets it done. And there were some people, yeah, who gutted it out, because of course UTMB is a Hard Rock qualifier, so they've got eyes on doing Hard Rock, so therefore they need to do the qualifier, so they grind it out. And I think also it's quite admirable to see. And I say grind it out, they were finishing in like 24 hours, which is still really fast. And so I don't, I think my only explanation for that, for the DNF thing, was, and I also think that, I think for some of the men, is it a fact that they're hearing from other people, well, blah blah's dropped out, and it's almost like, okay, it's okay to drop out. When more and more people drop out, it's like, okay, well, I don't feel so bad. Do you know what I mean? And I wonder if it's like, talked it like DNF-itis, that it's like, oh,
It's DNFitis is creeping through the field.
exactly. So it's easy, isn't it? When you know that your mate's dropped out or someone else, then it's like, oh, okay, well, I don't feel so bad now, so I'm going to stop. The thing with that is, and I know we've talked about this before, once you start doing that, I'm not sure if it's a good thing. Because
No,
it makes
I
it
don't.
easy every time.
Yeah, it does. I haven't had a DNF this year yet.
No,
And I'm
because
chuffed
we
to
fell
bits with that. Like, I know, there's nothing wrong with not finishing a race. Absolutely nothing wrong with it. Like, it's just part of the process at the end of the day, isn't it? But I am really chuffed that when I've come to that point every time, and I have come to that point in every race, apart, yeah, I did on the Lakes Traverse. I was like, this rain is really getting on my tits now. And I've fallen over because the wind blew me over. But I was like, you're gonna finish this race. And every time it's been like, you're gonna finish this race. Like, just fucking finish the race.
Yeah.
Like, this is what you train for. You train to meet yourself out on this hill, and you train to have that conversation with yourself. Are you dying? No. Well, you're gonna keep going then. And it's like I said, there's absolutely nothing wrong with the DNF as long as you learn from it, and as long as you take because at the end of the day, it's all the process of you versus you, isn't it? And how are you gonna manage yourself in these situations? So.
Exactly. And I think you're right. And I think some of the best lessons you can learn is from failing. And when I say failing, I don't mean you have to DNF, but like your race. I was thinking about say on my run, like some of my best races have been the ones that have been, I remember the really shit bits about it, like the really hard bits, like the bits where I felt like I was failing or I was actually failing for some reason, but I came round from it. You know, like so the UTMB, where I didn't have the race that I wanted. It was the one where I called my husband because I thought I was last, and I was, and I finished 18th. But it's like you, where you think that you're so bad, like when you were messaging me and Damien, like I'm so shit at last and this is awful. And it's like no, but you could have stopped and said, do you know what, I'm not doing this anymore. But you carried on and you finished, and that's the bit that you'll remember. You won't remember the bit when you finish. You go, yay, it's great, I finished. You remember that bit. Like I remember in the Europeans, I remember not coming like third Brit, which is amazing. I remember having the most awful stitch that I've never had before, ever, so bad, where I thought I was going to stop and bend over, and I was almost last, literally was almost last. I remember mentally and physically dealing with that and rallying back and rallying and getting working my way through the field. I don't remember finishing and how good it felt. I remember how I dealt with that really shit bit, and that's what's helped me in other races.
Do you know what? That the my lasting memory of Lakeland 100 is not the glorious first 20 miles where I was running down hills with absolute confidence, thinking my life was amazing. It's fucking Mardale. It's Mardale. It's me saying today, fuck this shit, I'm not doing it anymore. It's me crawling up that hill and having to go for a poo behind a rock in front of thousands of fucking tourists. And then being like, pull yourself together, lady.
They've
Sort
never
your
forgot
shit
that bit
out.
either.
Dave never forgot that bit, but neither did the sheep that was there and saw me. But you're right. Like, it's those bits. It's like those bits on the arc. It's those bits where you're like in the depth, in the fucking what Courtney calls the pain cave. And I think people don't know what she means by the pain cave. None of us do because we're not her. But it's that thing where you're like, oh, this is so shit. But then you manage to come out the other side.
I feel so awful. I literally don't know how I'm going to put one foot in front of the other. I feel like I've got gastric flu with diarrhea and I'm vomiting, and I've got to run another 100K,
And I
and
paid for this.
I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it.
And that's the thing. Okay, we could talk about this all day, but we're not going to. The Dragon's Back race is currently ongoing, and the DNF rate, or the rate of people that are going down as the hatchling, is huge. Like, half the field on day
Is it
one.
very hot at home? Is it very hot there or
No,
something?
it's beautiful conditions there. It's beautiful. I'm just like, I don't know whether people go into it going, I'm going to do that, because you can't sign up for the hatchling. You have to sign up for the whole thing and drop to the hatchling. So I don't know whether these people have gone in thinking, I'm going to do the hatchling, or whether they've dropped to the hatchling because actually the first day of Dragon's Back serves you your arse on a plate. But I think there is a lot of people from coaching experiences of having people say to me, I'm going to do this race. And I'm like, right, honestly, if I'm going to be completely honest with you, I'm going to crush your dreams a bit. I don't think that's a very good idea. How about we do this first? There's a lot of just jumping straight in. There's a lot of believe achieve. So it's a lot of money
Yeah,
to not
but that's
complete.
exactly what you. I was going to say, you're right. That's why DNS were really high in the race, because I think there's a lot of people that maybe went to UTMB who just hadn't prepared for it properly. And that's not elite. So I'm talking about everyone. And it's the same with Dragon's Back.
One of my clients, my athletes who did Lakeland 100, she said to me that her husband, who has done a 50 miler, I believe, was looking at Tour de Gion, and I was like, I'm going to do that. That looks all right. And I'm like, fucking hell. That's the difference between male confidence and female confidence. Honestly, I swear to God. Because I'm going to look at the course and think about the possibility of maybe doing top dress. Like, I'll go do top dress, see how we get on. But there is no way I would enter a race like that, even with like 13 years experience and like 1800 milers behind me. I'm like, fuck that. It's just. Do you think it's a lack of knowledge, or do you think it's just full on bravado?
I think it's a lack. It's a. I think it's bravado, and I think the problem is like you say, people are watching UTMB on television or whatever, and they're just like, "Yeah, that looks amazing." So I just want to go and do it. It's just total ignorance.
And the thing is, listener, it's not us just being bitches and being like, oh, you're not qualified. You put people in danger when you go out to places like that and do those sort of things because you've got a medical team that needs to fucking look after you. And if they're looking after you because you don't know what you're doing, they're not looking after fucking Jim Walmsley at the front who's actually had a fucking heart attack. So that's the point, is it's like, it's just a lack of
And I
respect
will
for
say,
the race.
if you want a DNF and UTMB or Tour de Jean, it's fucking hours until you get back to the finish line.
All
Because you're
drivers
not,
back.
yeah, there's
When
not a
I.
bus for you to take you back. You've got to wait for eight, practically all day. You may as well just carry on and get it done.
Exactly, because you're going to have to carry on to the next checkpoint probably to get picked up. So you might as well just carry on to the next one and the next one. I saw that happen at the 100 when a woman tried to DNF at Mardale and they were like, it's a 3 hour wait to be picked up. She was like, oh, fucking hell, put her bag back on, just kept going. Perfect. Right,
Yeah,
questions. We've got a
that's
couple of
the thing.
questions.
It's correspondence in a corner. It's correspondence corner.
This one is a really good one, right? This one is from Steve Shepherd. And actually, this one relates to what we're talking about just now. Love the podcast. Don't listen to them normally. Thank you. But I'm in week two of having yours on for my commute to work. That's why I addressed this to Ali and Anna, because he doesn't know that you exist yet, Holly. I've got my second ultra booked in November, a flat as many 7 kilometre out and backs in 7 hours. I'm terrible at training solo, but I'll turn up for events or races if I book them. Interesting that we just talked about that. So is doing three marathon races in 6 weeks too much? My logic is they will be my training long runs, 4 hours-ish. The last one will be 3 weeks before the actual event. Steve. Thoughts, feelings, emotions.
God, it's going to be the usual answer. It's like it depends. Did he say he was an experienced ultra runner?
No. I've got my
No.
second ultra booked in November.
Yeah. Okay. So probably I would probably not do that amount of volume. You don't need to. I mean, it's 6 weeks. So it's what, every 2 weeks, is he saying, to do a marathon?
So his second ultra booked in November. It is now September. As many flat as many so 7K out and backs in 7 hours. Boring. Sorry, Steve. I'm terrible at training solo, but I'll turn up for events to book them. So is doing three marathon races in 6 weeks too much? I'm just going to say yes, it is.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it is really 20 milers, maybe fine as training, because that's every 2 weeks. That's not a problem. I guess I know what he's trying to say. He's saying doing them because there are benefits to doing races if you're going to use them as like training runs. So you're not going to push and you're going to use the drink stations and et cetera, because they're useful in that respect. But I think doing three over 6 weeks is overkill. You don't need to do that. Maybe do one. And then do the rest of them, do some long runs, but you don't need to do that amount of volume. Totally not. Because you're more
Also,
likely to get injured, to be honest.
look at it. 7 kilometer out and backs in 7 hours. So realistically, Steve, how many miles are you actually going to do? Do you need to do,
Yeah.
it's not like you're doing a 100 miler where three marathon races in 6 weeks, you could argue that you're gonna, if you do them really slowly, you could be building your endurance. You're actually just gonna fuck yourself, probably get injured. And the other thing about going and doing races in training is when you go and do a race in training, you will be competitive, whether you like it or
Yeah,
not.
exactly.
Having other people
Will
there
be.
makes you quicker, pushes you, doesn't it? So if you go out for a 26-mile training run on your own, it might take you 5, 6 hours. If you go for a 26-mile training run with a load of other people, it's going to probably take you 4.5, 5 hours.
Yeah, well, he just said, didn't he? 4 hours.
Yeah. So rather than I would recommend to Stephen that rather than train by distance, he trains by hours and goes out for a
Yeah.
couple of 7 hour very slow runs to see what being on your feet for 7 hours is like. That's what I would do.
I wouldn't even do that. Wouldn't even do that much. I think you'll find out the day. Just, I think that he needs to get his wife or something to drive 20 miles out the road, drop him off, and he can run home.
I don't think Stephen's got a wife. Sorry, Stephen. Casting
Well, I wonder
aspersions.
if he has. That's why he wants to do a marathon every weekend and then a 7 hour event. He wants to get away from the family. That's what it is. Let's be honest.
You could be right. This is a good question, and I like this question a lot. This is from Sarah. I think it's Sarah. Is it Sarah? Did I get that right?
About
Probably.
periods.
No, I did the period one
Good.
last. Okay, Sarah Lee. Hello. There seems to be an
Hello.
increasing number of running coaches out there these days. I'm sure the majority of them are very good, but there are possibly some who aren't. Could you do an episode? No, we'll just do a question. That looks at how to find a coach and what qualifications, etc., to look out for. I think this would be really helpful, Sarah.
This is a brilliant question, very topical at the moment.
Why is it very topical at the moment?
Because there are so many Instagram coaches, aren't there? Let's be honest. Everyone you know is starting a coaching business or offering coaching or something like that. They're normally. So this is a question for you. Are the coach is the person you're looking at, is this a runner who coaches or is it a coach who coaches? That's what you need to be thinking. So there's a lot of people out there who are, and I'm not making them down, who are elite level runners, Olympians, whatever. And then there's also the opposite, who have decided that they're going to start making a bit of extra money, so they're going to do some coaching. They may have qualifications, they may not have any. But they've decided because they have that experience, they're a good level themselves, that they can coach. Now, there are some very good examples of this, but there's also an awful lot of people who think because they're good runners, they can become good coaches. What can happen with that is quite often is they might give the people that they coach the sort of stuff that they did. They might tinker it a little bit. So it's like one size fits all. That's one thing you shouldn't go for. And therefore, that can be quite problematic. So it might work for some people, but it can also be very problematic for others. So I would break down if you're looking for a coach, there's some things that you need to really look out for. So, first of all, is your coach a runner or is your coach a coach? They can be running as well, but are they a pro runner, but they're not a coach? That's a good question. You need to look for someone who is shares the same values as you, I believe. So, you want to, your priorities are XYZ, and that is also about staying happy, staying running's got to fit in with this. My priority is this, blah, blah, blah. You've got to say, share the same values. Like, you want to prioritize rest and recovery. You agree that you want to do strength work, that you must eat food always, lots of it. Those sort of values, because if you don't have the same values, you're going to be up against it, I think. Don't choose a coach who does like a one size fits all program.
How do
So, for
you
instance,
know if they're doing a one size fits all program?
because if personally the way I coach is I don't, if you go see a coach and they say, right, there you go, there's a 4 week training plan, 6 week training plan, 16 week training plan, and then we'll talk as and when. That's not a coach, that's a training plan. You're buying a plan, you're not buying a coach, you're not seeing a coach. That's one example. The other thing is I would ask them, how many people do you coach? Like, actually coach. For me, that's a red flag if someone coaches. I'm
What do you
not
think
going to
the
say a
level
number,
is, Holly?
but a
What's the
lot.
level? What's the level?
Well, I know how many people I coach, but I have another job. But I can't see how some of these coaches are coaching sort of 30, 40, 50 plus. And some people are coaching up to 200 people.
No, they're not.
I don't think
No, they're
that's
not.
possible.
No, they're not. How can you coach
No, they're
200
not. But
people?
there are people out there that are doing that, but they're giving you plans. And that's what you're paying for.
Are they called
So,
runner app? Is that what they're called?
that's very different. That's different because that's
Exactly.
not,
But
you
basically,
have.
that's not a coach. That's an app. Like,
No, exactly. That's an app.
I can't believe people coach that many people. I've just changed my structuring, my coach. I've changed my prices because I'm like, I'm in very severe danger of coaching too many people. So I've done it purposefully to take some people out and so that I can really focus on the people that I've got. Because one, it's destroying my life. I don't want to be fucking sat at my desk all the time. And two, I'm very, very aware that I want to have full focus on my athletes and know everything about them. That's the fucking point of the exercise.
And that's the other thing is, so you don't want to, so do you want a coach that's, we're talking about online coaches, because the other way you could do is you can have an in-person coach. So therefore you can go to a club and be coached by a club coach, which is an excellent way. And that's how I first started and I got my first coach. You need to, same values. You don't want a one size fits all plan, training plan, and you need to speak to them about that. And then the biggest thing for me is communication. So you need to have a good communication with your coach, and also you need to make your coach should be asking for feedback and giving you feedback. And that, so for me, I don't have to have phone calls with them, with you all the time, with people all the time, but I know it sounds weird. I like to hear your voice. So if I leave a voice message for someone and say, okay, so how was that training session? And if they, so a lot of the athletes that I coach will come back to me after a training session and they leave me a voice note. I can tell straight away from their voice how they feel, what's happened. And from there, I will, and then obviously I have all the data. They send me all the data. That data is really useful that in the moment, but it's also really useful for planning and looking back at. So where we can see there's progression and where we need to tinker things. But for me, it's about communication, talking to the athlete, finding out just how they feel day to day, because that's how I coach. I coach day to day. I don't do give you a month's training plan. I'll give you a week's training plan, but even that I will tinker with.
When I try and
So
do
you need
back-to-back
to.
sessions.
Yeah, exactly. So I wouldn't have known that if I'd not given a shit or been checking up on that, you'd have just done it, and I wouldn't. It
I
would have
would
been
have
like,
done,
well,
and
she's.
I know it was naughty, but I was just trying to just get it done.
But also, you're an idiot because you put it on social media so I can see. So I'm looking at your
I
social media all the
forgot.
time. That's not. See, she's in. She. This is the reaction I have to deal with. People, listen, anger, fury. But when she knows what she's done is wrong. That's why she's reacting this way.
This is a
Okay.
real example of where a coach can't coach themselves, where coaches have to have coaches. Because even though I
So,
know it's
oh,
naughty, I'll still do it myself. I'll still
exactly,
do it.
100%. Yeah, you still do it, but yeah. But then, 2 weeks down the line, you look back at your training plan and you go, and because you've broken your foot, you're like, oh, yeah, that was it. It's because I did back-to-back training sessions, I had no rest, and, I was a psychopath. So that is, so that's the really important part is feedback. And then, of course, the big one is credentials. Now, this is something actually, I'll be totally honest with. I struggle a bit with this because I feel that there's a lot of people going banging on about like, oh yeah, but your coach has to have all these qualifications and has to be educated. I think that that is good, but I think you could also have someone who has all the qualifications in the world, but actually is still not a great coach or communicator or can help those individuals. I do think you obviously need to have knowledge and you need to have some credentials and you need to have some insurance. But I think I've probably learned most of my knowledge by being coached by amazing coaches and working through things myself and running in a club and being with other athletes. I think I've learned so much more than when I did my coaching qualification, which I've done, and I've done my personal training qualifications and all of that. And I did my master's in sports coaching, which is amazing, but it hasn't really made me the coach I am now. I think the coach I am now is purely through is through experience and learning and talking to other coaches, like be a sponge, listen to other coaches, read books.
You know what? That
I've,
is what I fucking love about
yeah.
ultra running coaches. They
Yeah.
all talk to each other and there's no beef between them. There's just like honest chat and it's all good. And there's no like, and it's not like it's a fucking crowded market, but I feel like there is understanding. Do you know what? I feel like there's understanding between the good eggs. Like, and when I say the good eggs, I mean the ones that are really good at what they do because they're passionate about what they do and they do it well. And I said to Sarah when she sent that message, because I get my back up about this qualifications thing, because my qualifications are I've got a BA honours in media and communications from Goldsmiths University. That's it. Oh,
Useful.
leadership in running fitness. That's it. Right. But I am an alcoholic and a depressive, and I've done loads of really long runs. And when I started coaching out of desperation because I'd lost my job because of the fact that I was fucking depressed and an alcoholic. And someone asked me if I'd coach, and that's why I started. I'm very different because I do confidence, mindset, all that sort of stuff. I'm not a
Yeah.
psychologist either. Don't have any psychology degrees, don't have a life coach qualification. But what I do works, and I know it works because I've got people whose fucking lives they've changed their own lives because I've given them the tools to do that. But I said to Sarah, talk to other people who have been coached by that person because there's loads of them. And
Yeah.
if there aren't loads of them, there's a problem. There is a fucking problem, right? And
Yeah, word of mouth. Word of
yeah.
mouth is another one.
But when I first started coaching, I remember talking to Dame Gary House because I was like, I can't do this because I don't have any qualifications. And he said to me, does having a driving license make you a good driver? And I was like, no. It's like same coaching. He's like, you can have all the
Yeah.
fucking qualifications in the world and understand. I'm not giving people strength training to do. I'm not fucking saying to people, this is the physiology of your body because I don't know. Well, I asked Pete to design some strength training for my guys, right? Because I fucking don't know. But I think it is about But I think there is a worrying trend in online coaches of people who are like, I've done a marathon and I did all right, so I'm going to coach you. But the worst thing is the influencer end of it, or people that have got 500,000 followers have run race to the Carphone Warehouse and just think, well, I could be a celebrity coach.
It's just a load of bullshit and I hate it. But you know what you're going to do? You can't, all you can do is, like you said, I think the other thing is you look at, because people are like, oh, you know, look up somebody who's really, really qualified. That's slightly helpful, but I don't think it's the be all and end all, far from it. I think that you need to, yeah, look at word of mouth, look at the people, talk to people who've been coached by that person or being coached by that person. Also attrition is another thing. I think that if that coach is just constantly, the one thing you will see a lot on social media as well, with the social media coaches, they'll always have like every week, like, oh, a new space has popped up, or I'm looking, are you looking for,
Such
you know,
good
that sort of
point.
stuff. It always makes me laugh because I'm like, yeah, because they lost people, or they haven't got anyone, they're not coaching anyone. So you need to find a coach as well that helps you keep accountable. And that's again another reason why coaches have coaches as well. You also need to, or personally, I want to have a, saying that though, my coach is not this at all. It's quite funny. Well,
Who
he is
is
a
your
bit, but
coach?
my coach is very different. My coach is, he's my mentor. He doesn't set me coaching day to day.
Is
It's
it
Alan
Pete?
Story.
Is it Lemmy?
No. He's my strength coach. He's amazing. But Alan Story, who is the greatest endurance coach we've ever produced. So I'm very lucky.
Damien's not going to be happy
But
about that at all.
Damien knows Alan very well. So he knows what he's like. My coach is probably the grumpiest old man you've ever met, but I love him because he is a genius. So I'm very lucky. But of course, because of that, because I've been coached by him for, wow, 10 years, coming up to 10 years, 9 years. And then I was coached before by my husband, who is an ex-Olympian and a very good coach as well. And I was coached by a club coach. I've learned so much from them, and I've also learned what doesn't work. So that's been very helpful. I think you need also, so you need someone who keeps you accountable. You need someone who is like your cheerleader, who's a motivational, who's got your back. I think that's really important. Therefore, that, for instance, like you're not doing a back-to-back double day, you're not doing, because you need to think about your health and need to be looked after, not like, oh, she's on back to back, I don't give a shit, we'll sort it out next week. You need to have someone who's got your back. You want someone who's going to help you improve. That's, and that can be improving, it doesn't have to be running ways, it can be in other ways, like you're doing, improving your mental strategies, how you're dealing with stuff. And then you also need someone who, what you said earlier, this is something I really hate about a lot of the online social media, Instagram coaches, is the amount of them that say, oh yeah, I can do your strength training, I can do your nutrition, I can do your physio stuff.
No,
You,
no,
that,
no, no, no.
if you're not trained in it, I'm not. I've
Do
got the
you
basic,
know
I've got a
anyone?
diploma.
Do you know anyone that can cover all of those bases that is so qualified that they could be a dietitian and a strength coach
No.
and an endurance coach
No.
and a mindset coach and a psychologist? I don't know
No,
anyone.
there isn't anyone. So therefore, why are these people selling that and saying they can do that? So unless you're qualified, like say in all of that, which is very unlikely, then you should be telling your people that you need to go and sort that out with someone else. Or here are the people I recommend because I trust them. These are my educated people around me that I use. Therefore, that's why me and Pete coaches the team, the strength stuff. He does that. I'm not going to get involved with that. And then any diet, nutritional stuff, I would send to a dietitian, not a nutritionist, and a good physio, etc. You know, I would be worried if I go to someone who says, "Oh no, I can do your eating plan, etc." That's
Yeah.
a red
So
flag.
the one of the things you just said then, like back then, that is the values thing, right? So the values that when you go to a coach, you obviously have a goal, right? Or you have like something's going on that you need help with. So with a lot of my people, it'll be something to do with confidence or to do with the fact they think they can't do stuff or the thing they've been bashed by DNFs or they've repeatedly tried to do the same race and they've fucked it up every time, whatever it is. If people come to me, that sort of stuff, I lap it up. I love it. I love the whole mindset thing. And I love the people that just want to complete their first ultra, people that come from scratch, people that are like ultra curious. I love those people. What I won't take is people saying, I want a sub 2.5 hour marathon. Nope. Or a sub 4 hour marathon. Nope. Like I'm not interested because that is not in line with my what I know how to do because I don't
What
know
your
how to do
wheelhouse
that.
is.
No, it's just not. And it is not what I want to do. I don't want to be there. Like, I'm happy to make people be able to run a bit quicker, but I am not happy with having these massive outcome goals, because that for me doesn't excite me. And I learn a lot from my athletes. Like, my athletes, me learning from athletes is as important as my athletes learning from me. So I want to have people that I'm training who I actually am very engaged with. And people that have those sort of goals, they're just not for me. So I will always say, they come to me and say, I want this, this, or this, and I can't give it to them, go to Gary, go to Holly, go to Centurion. Those are the three people that, that I recommend them they go to. And I think that's the sign of somebody that is a fucking good coach, that won't say, oh yeah, come on, come on in, I'll get you a fucking sub 20-minute 5K, when they actually can't do that.
Those are the people with 200 people on their books. So yeah,
is that helpful, Sarah? How helpful is that? Quite helpful, actually. I think that's helpful. Also,
I think it's really good. I think the other thing I will say, the other thing is, people will ask about is price, and that's an interesting question, because I will say, I've talked to people who start up their coaching businesses, or people that are, you know, people that I know, and they want to do this and they want to do that, and a lot of them actually don't charge enough, and they're sort of devaluing themselves.
And us, and I, everybody else in the industry, you devalue yourself, you devalue the industry.
Exactly. And there's a lot of people that are like, oh, I'm not paying that amount of money for that. But actually, if you see a good coach, like I've just said, who is checking in on your stuff daily, I spend ages on each people's training every week, and so does Pete. You work at the hourly rate. I am not charging £10 an hour, because I'm not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So when people say, oh, it's just a training plan, well, then, yeah, you'll buy a training plan. Then do the runner coach thing. Buy a training plan. That's great. There's some great stuff online. Or join a club and go and train on the Tuesday nights. It's great. It's not going to be tailored to you, but mm-hmm. it's going to be very helpful. Do it that way. Mm-hmm. If you want a one-to-one good coach, you have to pay for it.
Exactly. And you pay for what you fucking get, right? So, like, on one of my plans, I talk to my clients every fucking week for half an hour on Zoom. Every week for 30 minutes. On other plans, I'll talk to them twice a week on the phone, but I will always fucking engage with them, and they can WhatsApp me whenever the fuck they want. Now, a lot of coaches don't do that, but because people come to you and you're their first coach they've ever had, they think every coach does it exactly the same, but they fucking don't. And one of the things that gets to me is people putting their price in their coaching too low, because that does devalue the whole fucking industry, depending on what you're giving people. So, and it's really interesting, because male coaches will always price higher than female, always. Always. It absolutely does my fucking nut in. So the other thing is, it's an investment in your well-being, an investment in your future. So don't fucking ever think that you're paying too much for coaching. It's like therapy. It's like, you cannot pay enough money for that stuff, because it's your well-being and it is something you enjoy. And what else are you going to spend that fucking money on? Really? Like, think about it. Exactly. It's mental.
And also, the people that are coaching 50, 100, 200 people, they're not doing a Zoom call or any WhatsApp stuff weekly, because work that out hours wise, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, they can't even call people, because they'd be fucking calling people every hour of the day. Also, the people that are doing that are usually on Instagram in fucking Marbella or fucking Chamonix or fucking like Courmayeur with their fucking GoPro stuck up someone's ass. So they're definitely not doing calls. Just say
with your money.
Yeah, with your money. I'm about to go to Call My Earth for 10 days. Okay, so we've also had an email from Lindsay about periods. I'm gonna push this one over to another time, because me and Holly have spoken about this. We don't actually have the stamp of approval to talk about this. So we're going to talk to someone else about it. I am going to see if I can get Dr. Nikki Key to have a read of it and maybe send us a voice note on it. So I'm going to do that and try and get that in another episode. Lindsay, yeah. I've got your email. I'm going to get somebody to look at it. Okay, that's it. We've run over time. We've done over time. Have you got anything you want to add to the playlist? You got any big tunes?
No, because you went nuts to me when I said Coldplay, didn't you?
Yeah, we're not doing that. Have you heard Coldplay's new song? Have you heard Coldplay's new song? It is so shit.
Oh, that's
called, so it is called We Pray. It's called We Pray. It is called, I'll say it again. We Pray. Can you imagine what it sounds like?
No, what does it sound like? Play it.
Sounds like.
Can you play it?
No.
You're not allowed to.
No. I'm going to. Who's there? Someone else on it. I heard it on Paddy McGuinness on Radio 2 the other day. And even Paddy McGuinness was kind of, oh my God, this is so your mum. Coldplay featuring Little Sims, Burna Boy, and there's a couple of other people on it as well, who it's like, your dad is like, oh, you know who I like? I like Stormzy. He's a fun fella. I'm going to put him on my track. It's a bit like that. Coldplay featuring Little Sims, Burna Boy, Eliana, and Teeny. Official audio. It's awful. The end.
Okay, well, I'm going to have to listen to that. I won't listen to it now, but I'm telling you what, I'm trying to find the song. But there's a couple of songs on my playlist that... So, you know, at the end of the year, it says, what is your song that you've played the most? Mm. Right? And I don't laugh because the one... I'm going to find it. Hang on. This is good music, isn't it? It's here. It is. The song that I played the most last year was Roachford.
Cuddly Toy.
Cuddly Toy. Play that on your next run, and I swear to God.
No, it's an Alan Partridge classic, that song.
Absolutely. Yeah, Alan Partridge, exactly. Yeah. I did the Alan Partridge thing on my thing. Absolutely love it.
Right, I put Roachford Cuddly Toy on there. I actually did. I thought you were going to go for some like drum and bass fucking cool tune that I'd never heard of.
No, absolutely love it. I've got some just absolute bangers on. I've got several playlists, you see, and I've got, you know, like proper hard house, and then I've just got some old. I'm just trying to find the other one. Where is it? Absolutely love it.
Okay.
Roachford, Small Cuddly Town Boy, Bronski Beat, stuff like that.
Okay. We'll put Roachford on it. And we'll put Small Town Boy by Bronski Beat on it. Okay.
No, the other one, and I can't remember the name of it, but it's from Lost Boys, and it's the guy playing the saxophone. It's that song. I keep playing that on repeat. Can you remember it?
No. Is it on the Lost Boys soundtrack?
I still believe Tim Capello.
Right, okay.
There Play we that go. As well, because I thought it's a banger. It's the Lost Boys. It's Lost Boys.
Okay, it's on. Add to playlist. There you go. Right, I'd be happy with that. Have a nice time on the rest of your holiday. I hope you like holiday what I've done to your kitchen.
Oh, I'm sending my mum in this week so she can redecorate.
It's okay. Made some wallpaper, some lovely wallpaper out of old bits of sheep's ears and some defecation that she found, and we just wallpapered the hot kitchen with it. So it smells like me because I took Lemmy's things out, right? And then I also pissed in his garden. Thanks, Pickle.
If my sink is blocked up with like trotters and skulls and stuff,
why would your sink be blocked up with skulls? Your toilet might be with old flesh that I've had to hack off, but yeah, that's fine. Thanks for letting me stay at your house. Okay, I love you. I'm going to stop recording this now. I'll switch you later. Bye.